God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Hello! It's the dog poet, Starfleet Commander Visible, hovering in the saucer pod above the great state of Wisconsin. You make me proud to have once been an American. The Wisconsin police are unbelievable. They were marched right into the Wisconsin Capitol building and said they were joining up with the protesters. How fantastic is that? I consider that to be one of the signal turning points in this entire revolution that's operating on a multidimensional 3D chess table, interdimensional reality, such as it may be. This is major. And it's not going to go unnoticed by police states, by police stations all over the United States and around the world. People are going to be paying attention, I suspect. An epic turning of the tide, it is, which the media is flat out ignoring. You can see the bobbleheads of the press engulfed in a massive outbreak of Tourette's syndrome as they fight against outbursts of truth that threaten spontaneous combustion. You hard pack all that ignorance and denial into something too small to contain it, and you pack it and you pack it, and something undesired and unexplained is eventually going to find its way out in the coming critical mass explosion. That's right. No one can identify it. What is it? It sounds like something I heard once. But what is it? It sounds like... Is that the truth? Well, I'll be darned. Well, I haven't heard that in so long, I didn't even recognize it at first. Apparently, the revolution will not be televised. Not as long as the stations are owned by the people for whom truth is a corrosive agent. The truth will not adhere to the celluloid... It's melting! I'm melting! So says the wicked witch of the media. Owned and operated by the most fascist entity on the planet, and looking to make it the new OS, the new operating system in the on-deck circle. It's not going to happen. Governor Walker, I don't know if he's related to Johnny Walker, but he showed his true colors. Oh, he got, what do they call it, punked? Someone called him up and pretended to be one of those billionaire brothers, the Koch brothers from down somewhere on a few states over. And, oh, they were talking to him about all sorts of nasty stuff, and he was just going right along with it. Oh, and he got broadcast. And now the police chief in Wisconsin wants to find a little more detail. Governor Walker, could you elaborate on that a little bit? And that'll be about what that'll be. Of course, it'll get spinned and spun and what have you, but it won't be homespun. Anyway, more and more people, unfortunately, are setting themselves on fire. This is a symbolic act that has power unlike any other and is breaking out now even on mainland U.S. There's no telling what tomorrow will bring. Union busting is the way the rich make sure that all the ill-deserved gains of the middle class gets funneled where it belongs, into the corporate banking coffers. They want to break down the organizational capacity of the middle class, because what happens is that the spotlight will increasingly come upon the fact that the corporations are not paying any income tax. Probably neither are the banks. There is no other reason for the financial extremity of the times, except for the malfeasance of bankers and corporations. There's plenty for everyone. What there isn't is too much for a few at the expense of everyone. Judgment is coming, and what shape it will take, no one can say. We have to set our hearts into a global harmonic with one another. The peoples of the world, we must unite against the tyranny of the machines and those who have sold their souls for the profit of an extreme disparity among the classes. Not a day goes by that we don't hear more about terrible acts by bankers, corporations, and politicians against humanity. There's no sane rationale for it. There's no justification. There is only the naked, irrefutable evidence of massive abuse against the peoples of the world. That boat won't float, and everyone sailing on it is going to go down with the ship. I don't know why I feel so certain that justice will triumph, but I do. I don't know why I feel positive with each new day and certain that the hand of the invisible is moving on behalf of all the oppressed people of the world. The terrible monster that is Israel and her lackeys in the U.S. and all the crown colonies has had their day. There is a power within the human heart, within the sacred places of the earth, within the pristine reaches of space, that are all coming together to wash the darkness from our eyes and the filth from the corridors of power. The divine is going to show up simultaneously all over the globe and begin to deliver God's big number 16 into all the soft spots of corruption and mind-numbing greed. It's the Scarlet Pimpernel on steroids come to call. Mm-hmm. Our job is to reach within and make contact with our divine center so that we are in a position to receive instructions as to how to go about our days. We must step back from the lies of the false world that surrounds us on all sides and embrace the template of the true earth that is perfectly etched in our ancient memory. The artifacts of the past are speaking. The present wars are all about destroying these things and the parallels they make to the truth we have not been allowed to view. As the apocalypse increases, we are going to have the past revealed to us in living color and in a way we never knew before. Those who have profited from the lies of fabricated history are going to be shocked and shamed out of their assumed positions, which they do not belong in and which they well know to be true. The past is riding the apocalypse into the future. The future is doubling back on itself to become a part of the present's eternal moment of revelation. Let those who wish to see open their eyes, because it is on the way. What is coming is unlike anything anyone has ever been predicting or predicted before or is about to predict. We are all going to be very surprised. All of us have been seduced to some degree by the media, the government, the culture, and all of the forces that play their hypnotic melody upon the unsuspecting mind. This is all about to be cast off, and we are soon to be given the option to see clearly, to see it as it is. Or we can turn aside and go on with the program already in progress. It's not going to be like there was no warning. That comes later. Everyone here has heard more than once that love is the greatest power. We've been given descriptions of that love and encountered icons of it who have walked this earth speaking as a vessel of that love. But the love itself is far deeper, far vaster, and far more intricate than we will ever comprehend. The most important thing to remember is that the love is conscious. It is aware. It is the motive power of the supreme personality of the divine. These are the shapes that love takes when it wants to speak to us. As the supreme personality, as a demigod, as an angel. These are all specific shapes that the love takes. The love takes ever new shapes to alert us to its power and its presence. The love moves in us, and we live, and we live abundantly because of it. We do not live at all without it. The love sets our courses with the greatest compassion that we might swiftly come to the love, but we often turn aside. It arranges our pathway with extreme compassion, given our behavior in the past, and makes it as easy as possible for us within the framework of what we have to go through. But we do not trust it, and we do not trust it because we have failed it so often. We judge the love according to ourselves. The love is not like us, but we are meant to become like it. It's an important point. The love asks us to dissolve our imaginary self into the brimming eternity of its limitless being, so that we might gain our true identity. Fear drives us to the sides of the roads. Fear drives us to the corners of the room. Fear drives us back the way we came, as if there were something there to find that didn't take hold of us as we passed it by the first time. Love is the engine of genesis and the conclusion of all action. It is the essence of life, and depending on one's distance from it, on that depends the extent of our suffering and our confinement. There is no here, here. Here is within. I sometimes think to myself, why hasn't God given me that walled garden that he knows I want? Well, he has. I've just not allowed my eyes to see it, and I have mistaken its location. But that's not for much longer, I suspect. We have one duty, and that is to discover love, to discover the love, and accept the protection of its sheltering wings. Our duty is to abandon our foolish ambitions and make ourselves a tool of love, something that love can use. How grateful love would be and will be for any and all who heed that call. I'm not Mr. Stable tonight, as if I ever were, but in any case, I'm not Mr. Stable tonight since I just got out of the hospital, so I apologize if I lack my ordinary static-laden clarity. I expect to be in fine form next week. I hope to be in fine form tomorrow or even later this evening. I just don't feel like I'm in fine form right now. And I hope that tonight's show is not too great a disappointment. Sometimes he's up and sometimes he's down and sometimes he isn't even around. And that's why he's called Less Visible, in case you didn't already know. I wrote recently about how we are all miners. And I think that's a great example of our industrious quest. Should we actually be engaged in it? We have to dig. We have to dig within. Just accept that it's there, and then it's just up to you to keep digging. For some of you, you don't have to dig very far. You'd be surprised. Some of you are just so close, and it could happen so quickly. Some of you are some distance away. But no matter what your distance is, all you got to do is keep digging. Keep digging no matter what you're doing. If you're in the restaurant business, or let's say you do motorcycle stunt work in Hollywood, I don't know. You do something questionable. Maybe everything's questionable. I don't know. Or you're a teacher or anything that you are. Think of yourself as someone digging. Be digging no matter what you're doing. Be digging and searching for God in whatever your endeavor is, whatever your daily occupation is, whatever you do with the people that you meet when you're talking to them. Be digging. Be curious. Be interested. Be open. And of course, be compassionate. But just keep digging and digging and digging, because God is digging on the other side towards you. And at some point, there's going to be this tiny little hole. And that hole will widen and widen, and the inspiration and the intuition and many other things pour through that hole. And you are going to be very, very surprised with what can come through that hole. I kid you not. Quite unlike what comes through some other holes, but then again, not. I could have been very amusing just then, but I don't know how many people would actually have been laughing along with me. So, let me just say that that idea of digging is an important one. And you can substitute that for some other thing. Climbing, if you wish. Falling. running. Whatever you want to look at it as, just tell yourself that's the business you're in. you're in the business of finding God. That's all you're really doing, no matter what else you're doing. When you go to sleep, you're going to be digging. When you wake up, you're getting ready to do some more digging. When you sit down to eat, you're eating so that you'll have the energy to go back to digging. Okay, do you see what I mean? You get all of it to play into the same context to the point where finally, that's all you really are doing. And then can you imagine how quickly success will come? One of my favorite lines, the favorite line of mine from the Bhagavad Gita, success is speedy for the energetic. And I would repeat that a whole bunch of times if I were you and think about the implications. There's a reason why Krishna said that. A very good reason why Krishna said that. Success is speedy for the energetic. Now, you have no idea how quickly that can be. So just take it for granted. It really depends on your level of intensity and what can be read from that and what your intentions are by the one who determines that and your sincerity and so on and so forth. Well, once again, it's time for me to bid you adieu and to tell you that I will see you next week if there is one and send you my love radiating out across whatever spectrum this is. Thank you for your healing thoughts during my temporary confinement in the halls of suspect medicine. We're much closer to being together than we are to being apart, if that makes any sense. Anyway, that said, aloha and aru!
You can see him in the morning when the sun is.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.